Good morning, everyone. Let's get real. Did it feel yesterday a little bit like White House transition gridlock, or was it more like a presidential two-for-one sale?
I told the American people, and I told the president-elect when I first met him, that any time we were to make a big decision during this transition, he will be informed.
We need to restore both confidence in the markets and restore confidence of middle-class families who find themselves working harder, earning less, and falling further and further behind.
Yesterday, both the president-elect, Barack Obama, and the sitting president, President George W. Bush, faced the American people to talk about economic policy and to explain that they were in each other's loop, and we're certainly happy to hear about that. It was also unveiled the senior members of the Barack Obama economic policy team, who will apparently be getting started making policy before the inauguration. Joining us now to discuss what it looks like to see these two dueling presidents in a single day in a country where we're only supposed to have one president at a time, at least that's what I was told by the president-elect, is Jim Warren, former managing editor of the Chicago Tribune, commentator for MSNBC, and a columnist for the Huffington Post. He's on the line from Chicago. Jim, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure to be in your loop.
Yes,
Don.
Indeed. I will always inform you of any major decision that I make. What do you make of this kind of dual presidency business that's going on right now? It is a little unprecedented, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I'm looking at four newspapers that show up in my doorstep on the north side of Chicago, about a mile north of Wrigley Field. And on every single one, the only images there are of either of those guys is of Barack Obama. I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune. Not a single image of President Bush. And when I, you know, was prowling the internet yesterday afternoon to look at their coverage of the two respective announcements or comments on the economy that both guys made, there was virtually nothing on the president. So, I mean, it's almost as if, you know, you're at a play and, you know, you look at your playbill and, one of the acts has just disappeared. And now you're in, the final act and everything is fast-forwarding with the attention so obviously on Obama. I mean, the images were just very, very vivid yesterday of him surrounded by his team in a sense that these are the guys who will now confront this economic mess. And there you had the president, you know, on the steps of the Treasury with, you know, a few people around him, an ever-earnest Treasury secretary who did strike me as sort of looking like the big, broad-shouldered gym teacher who's been promoted to school principal.
Right. Well, it was interesting, and it's not just guys that were surrounding Barack Obama. There were at least two women on his economic team that he announced yesterday. I mean, it did feel a little bit like you're at a high school, musical, and suddenly Paul McCartney is subbing for the lead. Barack Obama has this sort of outsized personality and profile right now. But do you actually think that in the White House machinations there is a kind of unprecedented, we haven't really seen this before, sort of crisis management by both White House teams?
Well, I mean, I think they're lucky because quite naturally, that guy Geithner, the new Treasury Secretary, I think whether he had been picked by Obama or not, he was going to be involved in a lot of these discussions as head of the New York Fed, which he remains. So you're going to have some overlap regardless. And I do think one should point out, that there have been precedents for distinctly lame duck presidents whose poll ratings have been in the total tank. I mean, after Reagan creamed Jimmy Carter, I mean, Jimmy Carter was going through that Iranian hostage crisis with, Bush-like approval ratings. And he was not only able to sort of pull off a deal finally, but he was also, people forget, able to get through the Congress a couple of really, really significant environmental measures, I think, in late November and then December of that year. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a little something going on. But, if I'm Bush, the first call I'm not making every day is not out to Hyde Park in Chicago to Barack Obama, because I think he's a guy who's pretty self-confident, verging on the arrogant. And, he's the guy now until January 20th still.
Right, and you know, Chicago feels a little bit like Crawford, Texas these days with the sort of camp out there of the transition team.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.